الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
راہ خدا پروگرام جو ہر ہفتے کو ایم ٹی اے پر شام کے وقت آتا ہے.
The program Rahe Huda is broadcast each week on MTA in the evenings. Our ulama, our scholars and our missionaries speak on different subjects and topics. There are also questions and answers through live calls. Non-Ahmadi guests also ask questions through these live calls. I had the opportunity to watch a part of last week's program. At the time, there was a question being asked by a non-Ahmadi caller. He was asking with regards to one of the prophecies of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. In fact, it was in one sense a criticism, because this is the manner in which he started speaking. He said that the Holy Quran is the word of God. We have the various hadith and also the various statements and literature of the other saints. Looking at all of these, we find a coherence, relevance and connection between all. But the caller said that after reading this prophecy of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, either he did not find any coherence, flow or relevance, or he did not understand it. It was nonetheless a type of criticism. Even if he was not intending to criticize it, the tone of the question implied criticism. The revelation was, Dastin ke baad main mojza karta hoon. After 10 days, I shall demonstrate my surging sign. Ala inna nasrullahi kareeb fi sha'ilin miqyas. That hearken, the help of Allah is near like a pregnant she-camel in labor. Then there were words in English in the revelation, that then will you go to Amritsar. The scholars in the program did provide a brief answer to this question in their own manner. However, I believe that the details in the words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam are necessary to present here, because it may be possible that some critics, some people with less knowledge, or some youth and youngsters who do not have the knowledge of this may become influenced by the manner of the questioner's question, or they may desire to know more details of this. Non-Ahmadi friends ask similar questions on this program, Rahe Huda. The ulama, the scholars in the program at the time, give immediate responses, and sometimes if the question requires an in-depth reply, the question is responded to in the following program. So thus, I do not need to start replying to all of the criticisms and responses individually in my Friday sermons. However, the reason why I am going to give the details of this is because the series of the Friday sermons had started by me, in which I said that the signs of the promised Messiah on whom be peace and the signs of Allah the Almighty's help and succor, which increase our faith and conviction and which are sufficient to silence the non-Ahmadis, are so profuse and abundant that perhaps the other non-Ahmadis have not even a fraction of it. The matter that this person tried to ridicule and mock has been expounded by the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, in Barahine Ahmadiyat, as one of his signs. Similarly, this is also mentioned in Tadhkira in quite some detail.
ہوتا ہے کہ اس میں کم از کم سوال یا اعتراض جو ہے.
Nonetheless, it can be deciphered from the question of the caller that at least he had read Tadhkira before making this criticism or question. But either he did not read it in context, or intentionally, or on purpose, he did not mention the context to cause confusion. The same subject matter, more or less, is contained in Barahini Ahmadiyyat. The caller would most certainly have not have read Barahini Ahmadiyyat, because it's a book which needs to be read with great focus and attention. I do not think that this person possesses the capability to have read it in this manner. In any case, the original reference is now going to be presented. This account is from 1882, in which the promised Messiah on whom be peace said, "Some time ago, I was in great need of money, and the local Aryas, who used to come and visit me, knew this well." So quite involuntarily, the thought welled up in my mind that I should supplicate to God, the One, for resolving my difficulty, so that through acceptance of my prayer, I should not only overcome my difficulty, but also furnish a proof of divine support to my opponents, a sign of which they should become witnesses to. So I supplicated the same day and begged that as a sign I might be informed of the coming of help. Thereafter I received a revelation. Das din ke baad main mauj dikhata hoon. After 10 days I shall demonstrate my surging sign. Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb fi sha'ilin mikyas. That hearken, the help of Allah is near like a pregnant she-camel in labor. Then the words in English, then will you go to Amritsar. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then explains this himself, that money would arrive after 10 days, and that God's succor is as close as the end of the labor of a she-camel when she is about to give birth to her foal. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, then he said in English, that after 10 days, when the money will arrive, then will you go to Amritsar. All this was fulfilled in the presence of the Aryas, exactly as had been foretold. Nothing at all was received during the first 10 days. In other words, not a penny was received. And then on the 11th day, 110 rupees were received from Muhammad Afzal Khan, superintendent Sesaman Rawalpindi, and 20 rupees were received from another source. And thereafter, money began to arrive unexpectedly. On the same day when the money was received from Muhammad Afzal Khan and others, I had to go to Amritsar, as I received summons from the small causes court, Amritsar, to appear as a witness. Hazur says that this is the revelation and its explanation in entirety and its background. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has further explained this elsewhere, in which he also mentions another sign. So the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says in this, "Some time back, a gentleman named Nur Ahmed, who is both a Hafiz and a Haji, and perhaps also knows some Arabic, and preaches from the Holy Quran, and lives in Amritsar. He came to Qadian in the course of his wanderings. Since he was staying with me, and had expressed to me, in very strong words, the wrong notion about revelation which he entertained, I felt much aggrieved by it." Hazur says that the context of this wrong notion or opinion is that one of his teachers was a Molvi Sahib, who the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is mentioned by name in Barahini Ahmadiyyat. So that teacher would say that he had doubts and misgivings regarding the revelations of the divine saints and people of Allah, So this Noor Ahmed Sahib in question was also impacted and affected by this. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam explains in this context that I tried in every possible manner to convince him of his misconception, but my reasoning had no effect upon him. Hazur says that ultimately then that he said that he would pray to Allah the Almighty. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says that then I turned to Allah the Almighty and told Hafiz Noor Ahmed that I would supplicate to Allah the Noble and would not be surprised if some prophecy might be made of which he might himself see the fulfillment. Accordingly, I made my supplication that night, and towards the morning, I saw in my vision a letter which had arrived by post, on which there was a superscription in English. I am a quarreler. And it was written in Arabic, Hadha Shahidun Nazar. And I also received these words by way of revelation as if they had been addressed to me by the writer of the letter. Then the vision ended. Since I do not have any knowledge of the English language, I informed Mia Noor Ahmed of this vision and revelation. Zur says, in other words, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said this to that person who had doubts and misgivings with regards to the revelations of the divine saints and people of Allah. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, I informed Mia Noor Ahmed of this vision and revelation and inquired from someone who was conversant with English what the meaning of the English superscription was. He explained that it meant that the writer was a disputant. From this brief sentence, I understood clearly that I was about to receive a letter relating to some dispute. I conceived that the Arabic superscription, Hadha Shahidun Nadar, which was the next sentence written by the scribe, meant that the writer of the letter had written it in connection with some evidence relating to a dispute. It so happened that Hafiz Noor Ahmed was not able to leave for Amritsar that day on account of heavy rain. Hazur says that due to heavy rain, he could not travel. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues. His inability to leave because of a heavenly cause was in fact an intimation of the acceptance of my prayer, so that as I had supplicated, he himself might witness the fulfillment of the prophecy. In short, the entire prophecy was narrated to him. In the afternoon, in his presence, I receive a registered letter from the Reverend Rajab Ali, owner and manager of the Safir Hind Press, Amritsar, reporting that he had instituted a suit against his scribe, who is also the scribe of this book, in the Small Causes Court, and had given my name as a witness. At the same time, I received summons from the court. The interpretation of the Arabic superscription, Hadha Shahidun Nadag, which means that this witness is shattering, then became patent insomuch as the proprietor of the Safir Hind Press was absolutely certain that my testimony, which he was sure would be in accord with the facts, would prove destructive for the defendant on account of its weight, truth, and reliability. Hazur says that, in other words, in terms of his truthfulness, in terms of his value, which will be respected, and also it being firm and strong, as a result of which the statement of the promised Messiah alayhi salam would have importance and significance in every respect. And due to this importance and significance, he felt that this would shatter the other person. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says that that is why the proprietor of the press had summoned me as a witness. It so happened that the day on which this prophecy was fulfilled was also the day in which the other prophecy mentioned above was also fulfilled. Thus, Mia Noor Ahmed witnessed the fulfillment of that prophecy also. That is to say, money was received on that day after the expiry of the period of 10 days, and I was summoned and had to go to Amritsar. Alhamdulillahi ala dhalik. Today, this is all that I wanted to mention with reference to these signs. As I have said, the reason for mentioning this was because of the question that was asked in the program Rahe Huda. Inshallah, God willing, the signs will be elucidated further in the future. After this, I will present some extracts with reference to the promised Messiah on whom be peace, concern and worry with relation to the practical condition and state of his Jamaat or community. Before I relate his expectations and advice, I shall present an account from the life of the promised Messiah alayhi salam by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed. May Allah be pleased with him. Another of the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty upon the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is that when the attention of the Khalifa of the time is drawn towards a subject, then if it relates to reformation, then a large proportion of the Jamaat's attention is drawn towards reformation. I can gauge this through the letters that are being sent to me. Then there are some helpers who Allah the Almighty has bestowed to Khilafat. At times, extract some references in accordance to their memory and send them to me. Even if these extracts have been read before, they become out of sight. So this reference from the life of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, in which he has expressed this concern, has been sent by one of our missionaries, who wrote that as you are explaining the importance of practical reformation in your Friday sermons, I am presenting an extract of the promised Messiah alayhi salam in which he expresses this concern. May Allah the Almighty also reward this person. In this extract of the life of the promised Messiah alayhi salam by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed, it reads as follows. Sayyid Muhammad Sarwar Shah Sahib has related to me that once, with relation to some work, there was a dispute between Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib and Maulana Muhammad Ali Sahib. Mir Sahib became angry, went in, and informed the promised Messiah alayhi salam that this disagreement had occurred, and he expressed his anger. Maulana Muhammad Ali Sahib came to learn of this. He said to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, that I have come here for the sake of His Holiness, to serve him and thus be enabled to have an opportunity to serve the faith. However, if complaints regarding us are sent to His Holiness, then he is also human. It is possible that at some point something arises in his heart. And in such an instance, rather than being of benefit coming to Qadian, it would on the contrary be of harm. To this, the promised Messiah on whom be peace responded that Mir Sahib did say something to me. However, at the time, I was so absorbed in my concern that I can swear by God that I am unaware of what Mir Sahib did or did not say. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, for some days, there is only one thought that so emphatically is emerging in my mind and heart that it has completely removed me from all other thoughts. Hazur says that this is something which should be listened to very attentively. Promised Messiah says that at all times, whether standing or sitting, it is his only thought that is always in view. I may be sitting outside, or someone may be speaking to me. Even then, in my mind, it is only this one thought that revolves around. A person speaking to me may think that I am listening to what he is saying, but in fact, I am entirely engrossed in this thought. When I return home, it is that same thought that is accompanying me. In short, this thought has so forcibly overwhelmed my mind that it does not leave room for me to think about anything else. So what is this thought? It is that what is the actual purpose of my coming? The real purpose and objective of my coming is to prepare such a Jamaat or community who consists of true Mu'mins or believers, who come to have true faith and belief in God, who possess a true relationship with Allah the Almighty, and who make Islam its way, who follow and abide by the noble example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tread on the path of reformation and taqwa and establish the highest standards of morals, so that once again through such a jamaat or community, the world can attain guidance. So that once again through such a community, the world can attain guidance and the will of God is fulfilled. If this purpose is not fulfilled, then even if with arguments and reasons we do gain triumph over the enemies and we completely gain victory over him, then even then our victory would not be a victory. Because if the actual purpose of my coming is not fulfilled, then all my work and my mission is in vain. I observe that the victory of arguments and reasons are leading to prominent signs being displayed, and the enemy is also beginning to feel its weakness. However, in the real objective of my advent, there are still great shortcomings in the Jamaat. There is a need of great attention towards this. So thus, this is the thought that is completely devouring me nowadays. This thought overwhelms and dominates me to such a degree that I cannot think of anything else at any time. Hazur says that this was the pain and agony which made the promised Messiah alayhi salam anxious and restless. The promised Messiah counseled at different occasions how an Ahmadi should be. There are 10 volumes of the Malfuzat. This is in addition to his other books. The Malfuzat is a collection of the reports of his assemblies and gatherings. These are just short accounts and they consist of 10 volumes. One may take any of these 10 volumes. The expectations with the Jamaat and the counsels and advice to the Jamaat. The subject matter of practical reformation has been expounded by the promised Messiah on whom be peace, with different references and in different angles, in every single one of these gatherings and occasions. I shall present some of these here today. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, I have already spoken about the unity, mutual accord and harmony in the Jamaat. I have said that be one and united amongst each other. This is what Allah the Almighty has taught the Muslims, that you should be like one entity, otherwise you will lose your power. The command to join together in congregation side by side in prayer is for the reason that there should be unity and accord. Like an electric current, the goodness of one will pass on to another. However, if there is discord and disputes and there is disunity, then you will remain in misfortune and deprived of blessings. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that show mutual love to one another and pray for each other in secret. Hazur says that now we need to assess that how many of there are us who pray for one another in secret. The promised Messiah says that if one person prays for another in secret, the angels say, may you also be bestowed with the same. What an excellent point this is. If a person's prayer is not accepted, the prayers of the angels certainly are. I admonish you, and I would like to say to you, there should not be disputes and discord amongst you. I have brought but two main points with me. First is that you should adopt the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed, and the other is that you should demonstrate mutual compassion and love. Display the example which should be a miracle for others. This was the very example which developed in the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember that the compilation is a miracle. Remember that unless each and every one of you does not prefer for his brothers what he prefers for himself, he is not from amongst my Jamaat. He is a problem and a tribulation for our Jamaat and will not have a good fate. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, ridding malice and spite is one of the signs of the Mahdi. Will this sign go unfulfilled? Most certainly this will come to pass. Why do you not display patience? For example, we find in medicine that unless some ailments and symptoms are not entirely eradicated, the ailment or illness will not be removed. Inshallah, through my being, a pure and sincere community will be produced. What does mutual enmity result in? Stinginess, arrogance, selfishness, and emotions. All such people I will remove from the Jamaat who cannot control their emotions and cannot live in unity and mutual love. Such people should remember that they are just guests for a few days. Unless you display the highest example, I do not desire to be the target of blame due to any other person. Any such person who is in my Jamaat that acts contrary to my wishes is like a dry branch who a gardener will most certainly cut off. A dry branch that is side by side with a green and flourishing branch may absorb water, but it cannot make it bloom and flourish. In fact, that dry branch affects the other branches. So be fearful, those people will not remain with me who do not reform. Hazur says that we have heard this reference many times before. However, when we read this in conjunction with that reference, where the promised Messiah alayhi salam says that for several days, I have been overwhelmed by such grave concern in the thought that the community should practically reform, then this develops great concern and worry. Then the promised Messiah on whom he says, when can a person be deemed to be a true mu'min, a true believer? The promised Messiah says that, I say clearly that unless a person gives God precedence over all else, so that Allah can see in the person's heart that this person is mine. Until then, a person cannot be called a true mu'min, a true believer. Such a person, according to common terms, is called a Muslim, just like anyone is called a Muslim. A Muslim is he who becomes the testimony and embodiment of Aslama Wajhahu Lillah. Vajha is called the face. However, it can also imply to the whole body and also character. So one who considers that all power belongs to Allah the Almighty is worthy of being called a true Muslim. I remember that a Muslim was inviting a Jewish person towards Islam and said, become a Muslim. This Muslim person who was preaching to the Jew was himself embroiled in sins and immorality. The Jewish person said to this Muslim, who was an immoral person and sinner, that first see your own state. Do not be proud by the fact that you are a Muslim. Allah the Almighty desires the essence of Islam, not only its name and words. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then says, remember, mere verbosity, eloquence of words and rhetoric will be of no avail unless there are actions to support it. Mere words and claims have no value in the sight of Allah. Thus, Allah the Almighty has said, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Most hateful is it in the sight of Allah that you say what you do not do. The promised Messiah says that if you wish to serve Islam, first adopt taqwa and purity yourself. The promised Messiah says, Sabiru wa rabitu, be steadfast and strive to excel. Hazur says that this is a verse from Surah Al-Imran of the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah says that just as it is necessary to have horses at the boundaries to ensure the enemy does not cross it, you should also be prepared lest the enemy crosses the boundaries and harms Islam. I have said before that if you wish to support and serve Islam, then first abide by taqwa and purity yourself. Through this, you will enter into the fortified protection of Allah the Almighty. Then you will obtain this privilege and honor from Allah the Almighty. Witness how weak the external power of the Muslims have become. Nations and people look at them with hatred and contempt. Hazur says, today this situation has become even worse than before. Says the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, if on top of this your internal power and the condition of your heart is weakened, then consider you are finished. Purify yourselves and soul to such an extent that the holy power permeates them, and they become strong and protective like horses on the boundaries. The grace and blessing of Allah the Exalted is always with the righteous person and the truthful people. Do not act in such a way through your morals and through your behavior could cause a blemish on the name of Islam. Muslim who commit bad deeds and do not follow the teachings of Islam lay a stain on Islam's name. If a Muslim drinks alcohol, vomits all over the place, his turban dangles around and he is falling in the sewers here and there and he gets beaten by the police. Hindus and Christians mock and laugh at him. His unlawful act not only causes its own defamation, rather, it actually adversely affects Islam. I fall to extreme anguish to read such news and report from prisons when I see how many Muslims are blameworthy due to their bad deeds. My heart becomes completely agitated that these people who have the right and straight path, due to their transgression and excesses, do not only cause harm to themselves, but in fact cause Islam to be ridiculed and mocked. My concern in this is that Muslims, who are calling themselves Muslims, become embroiled in such forbidden acts which not only make them distrustful, but also Islam. Therefore, make your behavior, your attitude and conduct such that the disbelievers do not even get an opportunity to lay criticism upon you, which in fact is a criticism targeting Islam. Azu says, nowadays, these are the criticisms being laid, that if these are the teachings of the Holy Quran, why do Muslims act contrary to this? Wherever one goes, this is the question and criticism and allegation raised. Today, it is the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat alone who must reform their actions and remove these criticisms and allegations. We must make maximum and full efforts to this end. The promised Messiah on whom be peace then says regarding thankfulness that if you want to be thankful, then you must adopt taqwa and purity. The promised Messiah says, your true thankfulness is in taqwa and purity. If one is asked if he is a Muslim and replies Alhamdulillah, is not true thankfulness. Hazur says true thankfulness is not merely saying the word Alhamdulillah when asked if you are a Muslim. The promised Messiah says that if you want to show true thankfulness, that is adopting the paths of purity and taqwa, then I give you the glad tidings that you will stand on the boundaries and no one can overcome you. I remember a Hindu by the name of Jagannath and who was a biased Hindu said that in Amritsar or elsewhere he had a relative where there was a Hindu worker who would secretly offer the prayers. Hazur says that he was a Hindu who had become a Muslim but he did not reveal this and he would regularly offer the prayers. He was apparently a Hindu. So he continues that all the other Hindus including myself. So that is, this relative is explaining, who was a government officer, that all the other Hindus and myself would consider him in very bad light. All the workers together had decided that we would most certainly get him fired from his work. Most of the mischief was in my heart. I complained against him many a times, against my superiors, saying that he had disobeyed this and this, but no action was taken. The superiors would pay no heed to this. However, we had resolutely willed that we would most certainly get him alleviated from his employment. And in order to fulfill this, we had collected many criticisms. From time to time, I would submit these complaints to the superiors. Even if the superior would become extremely angry and summon him, as soon as he would come before the superior, it would be as if water is thrown on fire and the superior's anger would cool off. He would gently caution him as if he had not done anything or was not blameworthy. So Hazur says that if one has taqwa and has a relationship with Allah the Almighty, then any difficulty cannot cause a person harm. No effort to cause such a person harm will be successful. The promised Messiah on whom be peace then says, it should be remembered very well that there is benefit in everything. Look in the world, from the highest levels of vegetation to even the level of rodents and insects, there is nothing that is devoid of benefit to a person. All these things, whether they are earthly or heavenly, are shades or shadows of the attributes of Allah the Exalted. When there is so much benefit in these attributes, imagine the benefits of being the benefit of God. Hazur says, in other words, if you establish a connection with Allah the Almighty, how much benefit will be gained? The promised Messiah then says, it should also be remembered here that just as we are sometimes harmed by these things through our own mistake and lack of understanding, not because there are things which are harmful in these things as such. Hazur says, in other words, it is not that essentially and intrinsically there is harm placed within these things. The promised Messiah says that no, in fact, this harm is caused by a person's own mistake and error. Similarly, as a result of not having knowledge of some of the divine attributes, we become embroiled in tribulations and suffering. For otherwise, Allah the Almighty is all-merciful and all-bountiful. The secret of experiencing pain, suffering, and grief in the world is that we go through these tribulations due to our own lack of knowledge and understanding. Hazur says, people often ask the question of why there are problems, tribulations, and troubles in the world. This occurs due to our own mistakes and errors. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, then says, we see Allah the Exalted to be ever merciful, bountiful, and beneficial beyond imagination through His attributes. Hazur says, if we look at this through the eye of God the Almighty's attributes, it is only then that we see that Allah the Almighty is most noble and most merciful, and that all benefit is obtained only through Him. And we see that being through which benefit can be obtained and is obtained. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, those obtain the greatest benefit who are closest and nearest to Him. And this status and rank is only given to those who are called muttaqi, righteous. They obtain nearness to Allah the Almighty. As a muttaqi, a righteous, becomes closer and closer to God, he receives a light of guidance, which instills a special light and radiance in his knowledge and senses. On the other hand, as a person becomes further and further from Allah the Almighty, a destructive darkness overtakes his heart and mind, so much so that he becomes an example of summun bukmun ummun fahum la yarji'un. They are deaf, dumb, and blind, so they will not return, and they become disgraced. Conversely, a person who is filled with the light and radiance are given the highest levels of peace and respect. Thus Allah the Almighty says Himself, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ ارْجِئِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. This means, and thou, O soul, at peace, return to thy Lord, well pleased with Him, and He well pleased with thee. This satisfaction is obtained through God. Some people obtain apparent satisfaction through power and government. Some people find apparent satisfaction through their property, possessions, and respect, while others through their beautiful and clever children and helpers. Hazur says, people look at their progeny, those who are serving them or working for them, and consider and assume that they are very satisfied with everything. The promised Messiah continues that, however, such pleasure and worldly pleasures of all sorts cannot bring a person true satisfaction and tranquility. In fact, they produce a type of impure greed and avarice. Their thirst is never quenched like a person suffering from the ailment, to the extent that they are destroyed. Hazur says, in other words, worldly people only go behind materialism and ultimately perish. However, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says here that a person who finds peace through Allah the Almighty, it is possible that despite the fact that he has wealth and property, and despite the fact of having worldly pomp and glitz and glory, his pleasure is only in God. His business, work, occupation, and attractions of the world are not the true means of his peace. So unless a person finds peace and satisfaction in God, he cannot have salvation, because salvation is actually another word for peace and satisfaction. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that a person cannot attain salvation without the nafs-e mutma'inna. Regarding this, the promised Messiah says that I have observed some people and have read about the state of many people who have worldly property and riches and false delights and luxuries of the world and all manners of things like children and also people to work and help for them. When they are about to die and they realize that they're going to depart this world and also leave of all their possessions and belongings and pass to the next world, then they are inflamed with a yearning and a fire of unfulfilled desire, and they have regret. So this is a type of hell which cannot give satisfaction and fulfillment to a person, but rather embroils them in anxiety and restlessness. So thus this fact should not remain hidden from my friends, that often a person is so absorbed in what is needed, indeed an unwarranted and excessive love of family and property. Azu says that one can love his family and other things, but there should not be excessive love and absorbed by it. The Promised Messiah continues that often absorbed in this passion, almost intoxicating-like, he becomes involved in such inappropriate acts which forms a barrier between him and God and prepares a hell for him. He is unaware at that time when he is suddenly separated from them. He does not know about that hour. Then he becomes extremely restless. This can be easily understood, that if one is separated for something that he dearly loves, this creates grief, painful, and extreme sadness. This matter is not only scriptural, but is in fact real. As Allah the Almighty has stated, نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْقَدَةُ الَّتِي تَتَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. Thus, this is that very fire of things other than Allah the Almighty, which burns the human heart completely, and puts in it astonishing punishment, pain, and agony. I say once again that it is completely true and real that a person cannot have salvation without the nafsi mutma'inna, the state of the soul at peace. Then the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, counseling the Jamaat, says that Allah the Exalted does not care for anyone but the righteous and pure person. Infuse mutual love and unity, shun busyness and conflict, and give up all manner of mockery, ridicule, and derision. Because this makes the heart become far removed from the truth and takes him to unknown places. Treat each other with respect, and everyone should give preference to the comfort of his brother over his own. Produce a true understanding and connection with Allah the Almighty, and return to his obedience. The wrath of Allah the Exalted is descending upon the earth. Only those are being saved from it who completely repent over their sins and submit to him. Remember that if you engage yourself completely in the cause of Allah the Exalted and devote yourself entirely in promoting His religion, God the Almighty will remove all obstacles and impediments and you will become successful and triumph. Have you not seen how the farmer pulls out and throws away weeds for the sake of better and good plants? And he arranges his fields with attractive trees and productive plants. He safeguards them and protects them from all harm. However, in terms of those trees and plants which do not bear fruit, or are not useful, or rotten and dried, the farmer does not care for them if any animal eats them, or if some woodcutter chops them off for firewood. Therefore, you also should remember that if you are deemed truthful in the sight of Allah Exalted, no opposition can harm you or cause you suffering. Yet if you do not reform yourself and do not make a true pledge of submission and obedience to Allah the Exalted, Allah the Exalted also does not care for anyone. Thousands of sheep and goats are slaughtered daily and no one has sympathy for them. But if one man is killed, how much interrogation occurs? So if you make yourself useless and careless like beasts, then you also will suffer the same fate. It is necessary that you should join the beloved ones of God, so that no calamity or illness can dare even approach you. Because nothing occurs in the world without the permission of Allah the Exalted. Eliminate all mutual conflicts and enmities, because now is the time that you remove all these trivial matters and instead embroil yourselves in glorious tasks and works. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has said, remember this as a counsel and advice. Never act in a harsh manner. Always explain to others with kindness, gentleness, and control your emotions. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that remember for times to come, that never abandon the right of accord and unity, otherwise the rights of Allah the Almighty will also be shunned. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "This is what I have been told. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." Surely Allah changes not the condition of a people until they change that which is in their hearts. Now, hearing this, everyone is ready to say that they offer salah and they also carry out istighfar. Then why do they have to face trials and tribulations? The real fact of the matter is that one who understands the ways of Allah the Almighty is fortunate and blessed. The will of Allah the Almighty is something else, but a person understands it to be something else. And then he assesses it according to his intellect and understanding. This is wrong. Anything that is used less than the prescribed amount does not benefit in a way is inherent to its benefit. For example, if medicine has to be taken in the required amount, but only a drop is taken, what benefit will it give? If instead of eating a bread, only a grain or crumb is eaten, will it satisfy him? And if instead of a glass or cup or bowl of water, a drop of water is taken, will it satiate him? Not at all. The same applies in actions. Unless they are done appropriately and suitably and regulated, they are not exalted. This is the way of Allah the Almighty which we cannot change. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then says, "To show compassion and sympathy to your brother is like giving charity and almsgiving. This is amongst the rights of mankind which is obligatory. Just as Allah the Exalted has made fasting and salah for himself, he has also deemed it obligatory to safeguard the rights of people." Says the promised Messiah, "A person who shuns sympathy and compassion abandons the faith." The Holy Quran states, "Man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasad." In other words, that if a person kills another without justification, it is as if he has killed all of mankind. I say similarly, that if a person does not show sympathy, compassion and love to his brother, it is as if he has not been compassionate to the entire world. Do not love the world to such an extent that you lose your faith. Never lose hold of the rights of the unity of mankind. Azur says that if we understand it, that many of our quarrels, disputes, animosities and cases will be dispelled. The promised Messiah says that all blessings are with the faith. Strengthen your faith. Cutting yourself off from the rights of the people is a sin. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "This is a jamaat which Allah wants to make exemplary for others. If it is their state that they do not have unity and accord, then it will be something really bad." Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "The detractors have animosity against the Jamaat and wish for it to be destroyed. It should be remembered that in spite of their animosity and spite, I agree with one thing. It is that God Almighty has so desired that this Jamaat should be free of sin, and that it demonstrates the best and exemplary model of conduct, and truly practices the true teachings of the Holy Quran, and is intensely and entirely absorbed in following the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There should be no mutual rancor, spite and grudges. It should be a Jamaat that fully and truly loves God. However, if a person enters this Jamaat but does not fulfill this purpose and does not demonstrate true change and reformation in his actions, he should remember that he will be actually fulfilling this wish of the opponents and he will certainly be destroyed. God Almighty is not related to anyone and does not care for anyone. The progeny who was called the progeny of the prophets, that is the Bani Israel, the Israelites of the children of Israel, among whom there was a profusion of prophets and messengers who came, who were recipients and beneficents of great blessings of Allah the Almighty. However, when their spiritual state became corrupted, and they left the straight path, and they adopted immorality and sin, what was the result? They became testimony to Zurribat alayhimu zillatu wal maskanat. God's wrath befell them. This is a matter of a great warning lesson. It is a beneficial lesson to learn from the condition of the Israelites. Similarly, God Almighty made this community with His own hands. It is a community in which God will bestow great blessings. However, if someone joins this community and does not hold true love for God the Almighty and does not sincerely and perfectly and completely follow the Holy Prophet ﷺ, whether he is big or small, important or unimportant, he will be cut off and will be punished by God Almighty. Therefore, you should bring about complete change and reformation and should not defame the Jamaat. Hazur says, "So thus this is the standard we must all strive to obtain, and should do so. to tread upon taqwa, to reform our actions and practices, to elevate the standard of our faith, are no ordinary or trivial matters. In fact, we have come to accept the Imam of the time. So to live up and to fulfill his expectations, we must make proper, suitable and complete efforts. The smallest upon smallest of virtues we must strive to act upon. We must display complete abhorrence to every vice and bad thing. We must increase love, affection and mutual accord and unity. We must become helpers of one another. It is only then that we can fulfill the right of our bid. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do this. Today, once again, as a reminder, I would like to draw your attention towards the Arab countries such as Syria, Egypt and Syria in particular, where there is a lot of cruelties taking place. I would like to request for prayers. Also, with regards to the Ahmadis in Pakistan, who are being persecuted severely. They are being made aware in every respect of the lack of their protection and safety. May Allah the Almighty keep all of them in their protection. May Allah the Almighty rapidly bring under His wrath those who destroy the peace and who create disorder.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ